Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Revelation and will be continuing today with part two of The Message of the Angels. So let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Four cities are mentioned in the book of Revelation. There is the city of Jerusalem that is mentioned. There's the heavenly Jerusalem that is mentioned in the future. There is the city of Babylon, and then there is Mystery Babylon. Now, it's interesting that the city of Rome is not mentioned in the book of Revelation. But what's probably the case is that Mystery Babylon is the reference to Rome. Now, of course, this book of Revelation was written under the authority of the Roman Empire. John was in prison he was a prisoner of Rome at the time that he wrote it. So Jerusalem is mentioned, Babylon is mentioned, and Mystery Babylon, which I think probably is Rome. But Babylon, very possibly, the ancient city of Babylon, very possibly could be rebuilt in the future and be part of the base from which the beast and the false prophet will operate. It seems that there is a possibility that the beast and the false prophet, that their centers of power would be Rome, Jerusalem, and Babylon. Now, the interesting thing about Babylon, of course, it was at Babylon that rebellion began against God. Remember the story back in Genesis chapter 11? What do we have in the 11th chapter of Genesis? Is the story of the dispersion of the people, the confusing of the languages, and where did that begin? It began at Babel. And all throughout biblical history, Babylon has always been a picture of the forces of evil in the world, the forces of opposition to God. Babylon, the prophets declared the utter destruction of Babylon. And Babylon, oftentimes, as they would talk about the judgment that would come upon Babylon, Isaiah, for example, as he would talk about the judgment that would come upon Babylon, he would project in his prophecies out from Babylon, out to the very end, he would project out to the final world power. Now, Jeremiah, in the 50th through the 52nd chapter, has a lengthy prophecy against Babylon. And he says something that's very interesting. He says that Babylon will be overthrown as was Sodom. Now, we know how Sodom was overthrown, right? We know that Sodom was overthrown by fire and brimstone raining down from heaven upon it. But here's the thing. Historical Babylon was never destroyed. When the Medes and the Persians overthrew the Babylonians and became the new rulers of the world, they didn't destroy Babylon. They kept it fully intact and just made it another part of their vast kingdom. Alexander the Great in the 300s, he conquered the city of Babylon. He died in the city of Babylon. The city of Babylon was still, although its splendor and its glory as it had been back in the time, you know, its apex was under Nebuchadnezzar, and of course it had diminished considerably. But during the time of the New Testament, there were multitudes of Jews that still lived in Babylon, and Peter, in his epistle, he makes a reference to Babylon, and it's probably that Peter went and ministered in Babylon. Today, the Jews have two ancient pieces of literature. Well, they have what's called the Talmud, and the Talmud is a compilation of Jewish literature. All of the writing of the rabbis, all of the commentaries on the Bible and all of that are contained in the Talmud. There are two Talmuds. There's the Jerusalem Talmud and there's the Babylonian Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud was produced in Babylon by those Jews. Many Jews stayed in Babylon and were living in Babylon at the time of the first century. And all the way till just sometime around the 1800s, although the splendor and the glory had long passed, there were inhabitants, there were people still living in what was ancient Babylon. So the point being this, Babylon was never destroyed like Jeremiah said it would be. And because of that, there are many who anticipate that Babylon itself, that glorious kingdom, that Babylon might again be rebuilt in the future. Now, of course, I think most of you know where Babylon was located. It was located in Iraq. But here's a very interesting thing. The UN is planning to make Babylon a great cultural center. I think that is so amazing. It very well could be that Babylon will be rebuilt. And that the stuff that's happening right now in that region is preparatory for that to happen. If democracy takes hold, if radical Islam is somehow weakened, and if that part of the world becomes more connected to Europe and more of, seen as part of the international community, it very well could become a significant place in the future. But then, of course, we have Jerusalem. The Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast, we know from Daniel's prophecies that another one of his headquarters is going to be in Jerusalem. Remember, the temple is going to be rebuilt. And the image of the beast is going to be erected in the temple. And in the prophecies of Daniel, it talks about the fact that he pitches his tent, or he makes his residence between the sea and the holy city. So he's established a base there in Jerusalem as well. But also, of course, Rome. I personally believe that Rome will become the center of the European Union in the future. Now, today, of course, Brussels is the center of power in Europe. But I don't think that that's going to be the final base of operation. Rome, of course, is known as the Eternal City. And Rome is, in a sense, the epitome of Gentile power. It's the epitome of man's accomplishments. We still today, although Rome has gone out of existence in the sense of empire, in many ways, the world is still under the influence of Rome. So much of our culture is handed down to us from Rome. Many of our laws, our calendar, the days of our weeks, all of these things and many other things originated with Rome. And the empires that have held sway over the earth since the time of Roman power all have a history back to Rome. But Rome itself, I believe, will eventually become the center of the European Union once again. And these three cities will be the centers of power, possibly, for the beast and the false prophet, Rome, Jerusalem, and Babylon. But as we read here, Babylon will fall. But notice what it says concerning Babylon, because she has made the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You see, Babylon has been the dispenser of false religion. And amazingly, if you take all of the religions of the world today and trace back their beginning, you will find that they are all ultimately variations of the religions that began in Babylon. It's really astounding. All around the world, all of the different idolatrous systems, they all have very similar idols that they worship, but they all have different names for their gods and goddesses. But you find that they're all really just derivatives of those gods and goddesses that were worshipped back in the Babylonian culture. And so Babylon has been the fountain, the polluted fountain from which all of the nations have drunk and have become drunk with idolatry. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name." So again, notice the mercy of God. What's happening? We've got an angel flying through the midst of the heavens with the everlasting gospel. We also now have an angel flying in heaven pronouncing this warning for people not to receive the mark of the beast, telling them that if they are to do so, this will be certain doom. This will be certain damnation forever. Those who receive the mark will receive it against all of the warnings that God could possibly bring their way. The warnings of the scriptures. The scriptures will still be here in the world at that time. The warning of the servants of God, whether it be the 144,000 or in the first half of the 7-year period, the two witnesses in Jerusalem, or the proclamation of these angels in the midst of heaven, God's going to warn every single person. And so what we're talking about here is, again, a willful revolt against God and a willing submission to Satan. That's what's going on. That's what's being described here. And for those who receive the mark of the beast, it says that they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And listen to this description: they have no rest day or night. That is a description of hell right there. You know, what is hell like? It is a place of total aggravation without ceasing. We all know what it's like to have moments of agitation and aggravation, and you know that's a state that you can't remain long in. It is a horrific sensation to be agitated. It's sort of like a panic attack or an anxiety attack. You couldn't live in a perpetual state of panic. You couldn't live in a perpetual state of anxiety, heightened anxiety. That's what's being described here. They have no rest day or night. I cannot think of a more horrific experience than to be stuck in an eternal anxiety attack. That's what's being described. All of the horrors, all of the things that are wrapped up in that kind of an experience, I think this description is a very vivid description. They have no rest day or night. They have no peace. It is a perpetual state of torment. Because what's happening when you have no peace? What are you? If you're without peace, you're tormented, right? You're in a state of torment. That is something that is so, like I said, in my mind, it is just beyond horrific. But that is the fate, that is the destiny of those who worship the beast. They have no rest day or night. Verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints, and here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, once again, like in a previous place where we are told that those who lead into captivity, they themselves will go into captivity. Those who kill with the sword, they must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. What's happening here is the saints who are living at this time are being hunted down, persecuted, tortured, and murdered. And those who, I mean, you know, this is like, you know, take your worst horror movie of all time and take the 10 worst horror movies and magnify them a million times over. This is the scene on the earth in the future where all restraints are pulled away. A while back, I was watching a few episodes from the BBC's World War II, and the episode was talking about the persecution of the Jews under Hitler. And it was following that persecution as it went, you know, from country to country throughout Europe. And this particular episode was dealing with, I think it was Latvia, Estonia, those countries up there, and talking about the persecution of the Jews that went on there. And there was one scene where when the Nazis came into power in that area, they rounded up all of the Jews in the city and they put them in the city square and they gunned them down. And this one picture forever stuck in my mind was a man playing an accordion and dancing on the bodies of dead Jews. And, you know, I mean, that is like, it's like your worst horror movie coming to reality. It's that kind of activity that's going to be going on. Going back to the Roman persecutions, it is a historical fact that Nero took Christians and dipped them in pitch or tar and lit them on fire and used them for torches. It is a historical fact that they sewed Christians up in animal skins and let the wild beast tear them to shreds. And all of the inhumanity that is resident in the evil heart of man, plus all of the vicious, ruthless brutality of Satan, will be poured out during this period. And the wrath will be directed at that point against anyone who believes in the true God, the living God. But you see, verse 12 is it's a word of encouragement to those who are suffering, those who are being persecuted, those who are being torn limb from limb. It's a word of promise that these persecutors of yours, their day is coming. There's a day of retribution. There's a day of judgment that's coming. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So even though they will be brutalized and viciously murdered, look at, the blessing is promised to those who die. Because the wrath of God will become so severe on the earth in these last, see what we're coming to now is we're coming to the last seven plagues that are coming upon the earth. That's what's going to happen when we hit chapter 15 and 16. And so basically, it's a blessing to have died before that final judgment will be poured out. And then he says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another messenger came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another messenger came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried out with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now notice, there's two different reapings going on here. Two different reapings being described, and two different persons doing the reaping. The first reaping is being done by one who is like the Son of Man, who has on his head a crown of gold. I think that you would have to conclude that that is a reference to Christ. And the first reaping is a harvesting of the souls for salvation during the tribulation. Remember, there's a great multitude that comes out of the tribulation that no one can even number. And this is the great harvest. You wonder, is there another great harvest coming? There is another great harvest coming. But it will be in the midst of the tribulation. And verses 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 are all connected. Those who die in the Lord, what's happening here is God in his sovereignty, he's allowing them to be slaughtered, but he's the one who's reaping and bringing them into everlasting life. That's why blessed are those who die in the Lord at this point. So the first reaping is, I believe, it's a harvest of souls for heaven. The second reaping is the judgment, the great climactic judgment upon the earth. And so the angel thrust in his sickle, he gathers the vine of the earth, and he throws it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And listen to this. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs, or approximately 200 miles. Now, what's being described here is the greatest period of carnage in all of history. The time that Jesus described as being worse than any other judgment ever in history, where Jesus said about it that unless these days were shortened, no flesh would be alive. So much blood will be shed that it will be like blood flowing 6 feet deep for 200 miles in relation to Jerusalem. This is a description here of the battle that we commonly call the Battle of Armageddon, where the nations, all of the nations of the world, are gathered together along with the beast to fight against Jesus Christ. And this is, as we've looked at already before, this is the culmination of those events that are described in the second Psalm. The nations raging, the people plotting a vain thing. What's the vain thing? That we're going to overthrow God. Satan has always thought he could somehow overthrow God, and he is going to deceive the whole world into thinking the same thing. And so all of the armies of the earth are going to gather together, and the winepress of the wrath of God will be trampled outside of the city. Jerusalem will be the epicenter of all of these events. And the blood that will flow in that region will be like nothing that anybody has ever known in history. That's the point there.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of Revelation in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of the seven last plagues. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Message of the Angels. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3284. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.